This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to, what do we call this show? I'm going to start it again. God, I have the muscle memory from the other show.
I understand.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
Go.
Okay. Lucha Afterground. Oh, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Lucha Afterground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max. With me, as always,
Travis.
And we are here to break down all the action from Lucha Underground Season 4, Episode
6. Six.
Already 6 in. Only 14 left to go.
Wild.
Nobody died this time.
That was a good bonus, I guess.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping we'd continue that streak. But I guess we had two murders last week.
So we're still on pace.
We're still on track.
On pace for a murder a show.
One murder per show.
Yeah.
Do we have any news and notes?
A little bit.
Oh, hit me.
Well, that match happened in that we had been talking about between Johnny and Ravenous Randy Myers. All accounts were turned out great. But attached to that, reason why I mention it is Colt Cabana interviewed a lot of the talent from the show, including Johnny and our beloved Ravenous Randy Myers. It's awesome. I haven't listened to it yet, but it sounds like everybody had good things to say about the local talent.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think the world of Ravenous Randy.
Yes, we do.
I'm sure he's destined for greater things.
I believe so.
Anything else going on?
Not much. Fighting a bit of a cold.
Oh, okay. That's more of a note.
Yeah, yeah.
The news.
Yeah, but I should be okay. Make it through. Had some good, really good miso soup before I came here.
Okay.
Tends to do the trick.
This is the kind of hard-hitting Lucha Underground analysis that people have come to expect.
Yeah.
All right, well, we should just get right into it. I'm curious to know, like, I feel like this was just so match-heavy.
Yep.
Oh, man, I hope we can...
Well, we'll see how things go.
All right, let's do it.
There's some stuff to talk about.
Good, good.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
Lucha Underground, Season 4, Episode 6. The brief recap about the medallion matches that had been happening before, as well as Pentagon Dark and Cage. We enter the temple. It looks like we got Mariachi El Bronx for at least one more show.
Unless I bet you.
They are the official house band.
That's my guess.
That's fine with me.
Me too.
Fine with me.
It's such a perfect fit.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is exciting. The dramatic return of Man in the Wedge. Gotta get that wedge.
Now, for people who don't know, what is Man in the Wedge?
Was the highly successful segment here on the show, where at the start of the show, when we're brought into the temple, and you got that two shot of Vamp and Man Striker. There's always someone right in between them. And for a while, it was some colorful characters.
It was, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Shall we say? And we thought we had kind of just cracked the code.
We had hacked the mainframe.
Yeah. Figured out when they did their tapings and what was it. But after a while, that whole theory went to...
Well, they caught on to us.
Yeah, yeah.
They listened to a few episodes, realized that we were onto their games.
You're right. Yeah.
And for the sake of Lucha Underground kayfabe, which we know they cared a lot about.
Yeah. We received a lot of threatening letters.
That's right. They switched it up.
Yeah. Oh, and we just dropped it. but today was notable because there was a young lady wearing a shirt that I'd never seen. Of the referee, Rick Knox.
Maximum referee is what it said.
That's what it said.
Yeah.
The design looked pretty basic.
Yep. Pretty indie wrestling.
Yeah. But even not even below average indie wrestling t-shirt, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really get a good look at it.
White on black. And it, looked like a Photoshop that I'm going to guess Rick did himself. I'm not disparaging his, but that's I'm just going to guess.
You know what? One thing I really love, I hate to play myself so hard, but one thing I love about New Japan merch is that the individual wrestlers will like team up with like design, like designers.
Yeah.
And they'll collaborate just for like a single shirt.
Yeah.
Like Sonata has a shirt out right now. It's like Sonata, X, whatever. I don't know. I don't think you can pronounce it, but it's like Sonata and this like person who's just like a fashion designer, and they released a single shirt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It just seems so obvious.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, you find somebody who's hot and up and coming looking for some sort of design. Why not?
Split the profits.
Yeah.
Split those indie t-shirt profits.
Never have to work another day in your life.
It's just calling for you, man. God.
Yeah. But yeah, Rick Knox t-shirt. There you go.
Yeah.
And that leads us to our first match, unless you got more to say about
it. No. But you know what? This is, as you continue here, I think we should do a little review. I mean, I know it's a podcast and it's an audio medium, but I think a nice little aside here would be if we head to Pro Wrestling Tees and we take a look at some of the t-shirts available for Lucha Underground talent.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I'm scared to look at it.
I've looked a while back. I wasn't blown away.
Yeah. I'm wondering about Pentagon off the top of my head, because I can't really remember any Pentagon t-shirts, what they may look like.
No, those I've seen a couple. Yeah. I think the best merch involving Lucha Underground talent has been stuff that's not directly related to Lucha Underground, just that the talent themselves have put out.
Oh,
remember we saw that Phoenix shirt that we wanted so bad?
Yes, absolutely. I think that was straight out of... oh, man. Pro Wrestling Tees is organized so terribly.
It's true.
Like, not even alphabetical.
Yeah, and it's just a ton of... But you can go straight to promotions if you want to find it.
Here we go.
There's just a ton of talent that have their stuff on there right now.
He has one shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Who's this?
Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's of the...
I see it.
Yeah. Zero Miedo... Hands.
Yep.
With the... just on the topic of Pentagon's aesthetic.
Yep.
I was thinking for... I kind of realized we don't... Does he have a tribe?
What do you mean?
Like in the Aztec?
No.
He has no tribe?
No.
Because if he was going to have a tribe, you'd think it would be like the Death Tribe.
Sure.
But that's Mil Muertes,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really seem like they're part of a thing.
They don't see eye to eye.
But can I present to you, Travis, with the new Rabbit Tribe, he kind of fits in with that. It's the same color aesthetic. There's obviously some dark stuff happening
in
there.
The direction they're headed.
Mm-hmm.
It may be. That'd be an interesting if all of a sudden he's like their new leader kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would definitely...
It would mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're super dark. He could even just like break their bones randomly.
Yeah, for fun.
For
and
fun.
Be into it.
Yeah.
Be into it.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Carrots somehow. Yeah. I can't really see Pentagon holding a giant carrot.
Nope, I cannot.
But what an amazing... If they were just like, oh yeah, he's part of the Rabbit Tribe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I thought going to have more legs.
First match for a medallion. Paul London versus the Lucha Underground debut of Desmond X. It was Desmond Xavier. Had you seen any of his work before?
I had never. I'd seen his name all over the internet,
too,
but I'd never seen anything he did. And what's really funny is this short. They were billing him as Desmond X for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But on his shorts, it clearly said Xavier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a quick turn. Hey, we need you. Okay, here's the contract. Sign it. I don't have any new gear, bro.
Like, how come he has to be Desmond X?
They just got to change everything just a little bit.
Do they?
For
like Cage is Cage.
But he's known as Brian Cage on the Indies, isn't he?
Is it that big of a difference?
I think so.
Hmm. Like, legally-wise?
I think so. I think they just want to make it more their, this is our intellectual property. IP, you told me a while back.
That's right.
Yep. I'm paying attention.
Oh, hey, there you go.
So Paul London comes out in a black suit, kind of looking even more kind of Freddie Mercury-esque.
Clean-shaven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like We Will Rock You era.
Yep. Malasuerte has a red mohawk suddenly.
Yeah. These little changes. Fun start with... okay action leading to that nice springboard flip to the outside by Desmond X. Malasuerte and Saltador were involved a lot. awesome double, remember that back hamstring spot that finished with like a kick to the back of the head by Desmond X? That was cool. Remember he did like a double kind of back and then ended with the kick on the back of the guy's
yeah.
head?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. That looked brutal.
Yeah, yeah. Paul London turns it around and ends up getting, it does a really cool kind of dark rabbit mime.
That was the best part of the whole match.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, yeah. yeah. Yeah, I thought he had some really good heel work in this. Like you can see that there is a change in his character. It's not just the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But a really good, a surprise roll up from Desmond X for the win.
Shocking. And I love it.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that whoever was coming out to face him was done. Mm-hmm. It had no chance. I love being surprised like that.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through, I realized, like, oh, this is for a medallion. How weird that they would have, like, just, like, a squash match for a medallion.
But sure, then or a debut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then it didn't, turned out not to be a squash at all. So I'm really excited to see what happens next with the Rabbit Tribe after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of why I was thinking, oh, maybe they'll come back at the end with this Pentagon stuff. I don't know why, but I was like, where does this go?
Yeah, I can see what you're thinking. I don't see them thinking that way, though. It'd be nice.
Mm.
I just don't foresee it. I feel like they're from different universes. Rabbit Tribe's from Venus. Pentagon Dark is from Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
Write a book about it.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I liked it a lot.
The match?
I like the match. I like seeing Desmond.
It's an okay little curtain jerk, but...
Well, yeah.
Then we just got to see some of that unique offense from Desmond. And like I said, I like the heel work from Paul London. I wasn't as shocked because I could already see, we've already seen that storyline started, with the Rabbit Tribe, and I don't see how it fits in to work him into against, six other luchadors, right? It seems mm-hmm. like they got their own thing going on. But whereas Desmond X, you can just slot him in there cause he doesn't really have anything yet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can put Paul London in there if he's going to win, right?
Yeah, but even I don't see him going on a title.
I know what is the search. End game for these guys? Here's a great question for you. Presuming mm-hmm. this is the final season
yeah.
of Lucha Underground, do you think all these characters will have their stories completed,
wrapped up? I think they'd have to. No, I don't think so because I don't. They don't know if it's the last
yeah.
season, and they've already shot the 20 episodes. So there's got to be some hanging vines. You know, yeah. I think there could be some level of finality, but they got to leave something open. We'll see.
Oh, man. If only we could go back in time and tell them on episode one, listen, you're only going to have 4 seasons.
Yeah.
So start planning now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have 120 episodes or whatever it mm-hmm. is. So make them all count.
Sure.
Have it end with a nice, snug thing. That's what you'll be known for. You'll yeah. be known as the wrestling show that ended.
Yeah.
Ended with intention.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta and be good.
Finality.
Yeah.
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 Anyways, after this, enter Antonio Cueto with the gift of the gods. He says he's been a fight promoter for 40 years.
That's right.
So where was that happening? I'd like to know more of that story. I
yeah,
see
totally.
These other, were there like ups and mm-hmm. downs? Was
season
it like one?
Season 5,
yeah.
You can take another, finish all these stories,
yeah.
Season 5, prequel, Godfather 2 style.
Yeah, love it.
Go back in
love
time. It. You can have, and you can have the same actor. The only person that needs to return mm-hmm. is the actor who plays mm-hmm. Dario and Antonio.
Or like, you know, a couple, like you could put, what's his name? Aerostar, because he's ageless.
Yes.
Mel Muertes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Katrina when she's still in the black.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
You really got something there.
Oh yeah. 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 Let's do that.
40 years.
Lucha Underground. Wait, 40 years ago was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Home. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Oh man. So cool.
Could be the Max dad, but it played by the Max.
Just played by the Max. With a bigger afro.
Afro. Yeah.
Fuck. That's so good. Yeah. I just F-bombed it. And yeah, I'm not even going to bleep that.
No. Oh, yeah. Because we're usually right on top of our swear words. Anyways, Antonio calls all the fighters down. So it's a great announcing from him for each of these names. Dragon Azteca Jr., King Cuerno, Ivelisse, Desmond X, Son of Havoc, The Mac, and Mel Muertes.
Very long sequence.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, but I was into it just because I wanted to hear each announcement of each name. Some of them...
Mac.
He said, now that I have you all here, let's have some fun. only six will compete. And right now we'll have an impromptu over-the-top battle royale. And the winner chooses who is out. So again, a nice, some good little storytelling.
Yeah, there. I wasn't... at first, when he started announcing it, like you kind of know something's going to be up, right? Mm-hmm. I thought maybe they were going to do it right then.
Yeah,
but I was like, well, he can't just be the first person that gets eliminated, and it can't be the winner who mm-hmm. doesn't get to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the way they did it, totally mm-hmm. smart. That yeah. kind of stuff needs to be more of that. If they look towards, you know, some of these elimination style. Reality shows, I think you'd find a lot of inspiration for yeah. match stipulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they sure. really, like, if you watch an episode, season of Big Brother, I've actually never watched Big Brother. Maybe that's not a good example. If they watch, like, The Biggest Loser,
yeah.
then maybe they'd be like, you have to lose. We'll weigh you at the beginning of this match.
Yeah, like, just and these, then we'll these elaborate challenges yeah. that are like, kind of, like, undeniable tension that will come out of the result.
Yeah.
Right? So it continues to build
yeah.
Build that tension. Anyways, Mel Muertes is on an elimination spree, throwing out King Cuerno, Ivelisse, and Desmond X. And then he goes to powerbomb Dragon Azteca Jr., but then the both of them are tossed out of there by two members of the trio's champions, Son of Havoc and the Mac. So that was their final two. And Son of Havoc immediately eliminates himself with a flip to the outside onto the remaining competitors.
I thought that was nice.
Yep.
I thought sense. We...
Keeps these two as baby faces. Mac gave him a good, yeah, man, you cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mac cuts a great promo. It says, the Mac ain't afraid of no man. But Mel Muertes, you scared the shit out of me. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a good choice. And again, because I don't think... I don't see Mel Muertes needing that story yet. I think maybe it's mostly because Katrina's in a different spot now. And I think that like, there's something to look into there.
Mm-hmm.
And that would kind of... involve him, you know, not tertiary, but like he's along for the ride. So that, and it makes sense. And you know, now we've got what looks to be mostly, you know, more the less bruisey, except the Mac's got a good thing of that, but more I won't say flippy shit, but more the kind of just the athletic type thing that you should have
sure.
in like a six-way match.
Yeah. Any predictions for who's going to win that thing?
I will say either the Mac or Son of Havoc. Oh, no. King Cuerno.
King Cuerno.
Yeah.
That's very strong.
It seems like he's kind of getting that push as a star now.
Yeah, totally. That makes a lot of sense. Dragon Azteca doesn't really have anything going on. Where is the Black Lotus tribe, by the way?
Good question.
And Ivelisse doesn't really seem to have anything going on either, although she wouldn't be a bad choice.
Nope.
Because the crowd can get behind her right away. Yep. And you can just tell, any moment you can tell a story, an underdog story with her, and it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the champ right now? Pentagon? Yep. Pentagon versus Ivelisse? Wow.
See, I see more like King Cuerno versus Pentagon.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty good, mm-hmm. I think.
Doesn't even have to win. And this could come at, like, your mid-season, like, big match kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my pick. You?
Yeah, Cuerno is really hard. But just for the sake of conflict, I think I'm going to go with... Who am I missing from this thing?
Ivelisse. Desmond X. Neither of Son of Havoc or the Mac.
Desmond X. Nah. No. I'll give it to Dragon Azteca only because I could see it as a good way to reintroduce the Black Lotus tribe mm-hmm. if they show up and fuck with him when he's going up against Pentagon.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thought that was great. And then Mel Muertes takes his frustrations out on everybody and they go to break. Next match, Vibora versus Johnny Mundo. Vibora with Cobra Moon, Johnny Mundo with Taya. Johnny Mundo opens up this thing with that really unique, awesome elbow to the back of the head. That looks stiff.
yeah, totally. There was a lot. Mundo is so good sometimes. Like, it's so funny for this. He had a lot of the times. The only criticism I really have of Johnny Mundo ever is that his moves don't feel real enough. Mm-hmm. You know, like the end of the world. I mean, it doesn't look like it hurts at all.
But it looks cool.
It looks cool, but it doesn't look like it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But in this match, there was a lot of just strikes by Johnny Mundo that looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Mixed
in with some of those crazy...
Yeah. It's his greatest hits, sure thing. But I don't remember the last time I saw him like with such good-looking strikes.
Mm.
Has he leveled up?
Everybody's leveled it up. Well, he's always had that great knee to the face.
Yeah. And that has always looked fantastic.
Yep.
He's got it. He could just go straight like Shinsuke Nakamura style.
Sure.
And just go like, I'm just doing strikes with the occasional this or the occasional that. Cut out, end of the world.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah, but that's still a big selling point, and that's what I think the fans expect when he's showing up to these shows and
that's true.
Wherever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right away I mentioned his good offense here. It's what I've written down. Mm-hmm. Vibora with just kind of like a standing V trigger that looked really great.
Yeah.
And then a really cool like burning hammer type move. Are you familiar with Kenta Kobashi and like how
not as much as I should be.
Yeah. So he only used that burning hammer like 6 times like in his career, and every time it was like huge, right? And Brian Kendrick did it in the Cruiserweight Classic a while back,
nice.
And I totally freaked out. Anytime I see didn't really drop him as much on his head as you see with another one, but it was a little different too. He had added like he grabbed the arm. It was cool.
Vibora, I think, is really good.
Yep.
I don't know. I was surprised. This whole match seemed to move at like at a slightly slower pace.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe to accommodate Vibora in some ways. I don't know if he's just because
maybe
he's just a big dude.
Yeah.
Needs to move a little slower. Maybe he's less experienced. But once I sort of acclimatized to the speed, like I thought it was so good. I loved everything about this match.
Really?
Yeah,
really.
Really.
I think you liked it a bit more than I did. I mean, I liked the offense. I thought the run-ins really kind of changed or effed with the whatever kind of momentum they were building.
Sure. Okay, so here's my counterpoint to that is that if what you're trying to build towards is like some sort of like faction warfare, right? That this is bigger than just Mundo versus Vibora, then that's the sort of thing you have to do. Plus, you've got the Worldwide Underground, like that's their shtick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're, you know, like we're talking about greatest hits, right? If Johnny Mundo's greatest hit is the end of the world, then the Worldwide Underground's greatest hit is running in and causing shit on each other.
Sure.
So you have to counter that.
Yeah, right? but as a match, I thought it, you know, I see that they're moving plot, but as a match, I felt that it kind of killed whatever kind of good stuff these guys were doing.
Sure.
And I agree with you on the pacing thing. Mm. I think Vibora, even though he has like shown improvements from when we saw him last season, is still having to be carried a little bit.
Sure.
Or just had to work with whatever pace he's doing. But anyways, that's when things really started picking up was right after Johnny Mundo hit the end of the world and Vibora kicked out.
That was
surprising. Yeah.
Has anybody kicked out of that?
Maybe
Puma or something like that.
Mundo right away super kicks the ref and calls for the chairs and the beatdown begins. Enter Drago and then enter Daga, like Greaser Daga. I love that they called him the king of the reptile tribe.
Yeah. You think that was intentional?
Yep.
Is that what we're supposed to be?
Yep.
Is that okay?
Yep. He looked great. But after that, like, I thought that was like kind of, it's going to be a schmoz, like double disqualification. But then the match was still continuing. I'm like, oh, okay. So again, we see some nice offense from Vibora. Marty Elias comes down to make the two count. Ricky Mundo pulls Johnny Mundo out of the way to save him. And Vibora with a nice moonsault to the outside onto both.
Yeah.
Nice
second rope moonsault.
Yeah,
I think too.
Yeah. Nice slugfest, slug/kickfest that leads into a headbutt from Vibora. Yeah, here's like if this had just been like the two of them and like building up to this, then I think we really would have had something. And then that really unique, like, kind of flipping choke slam.
I loved it.
I've never seen that before for the win.
I think, I mean, that's mostly Johnny Mundo.
But still looked very different.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, good match with some unique spots, but just a little too much of the extracurricular, I thought.
Yeah, I can see what you mean, how it kind of... I mean, you're absolutely right that it did damage the momentum of the match, and that, yeah, it sort of felt like this match had to... like an A side and then the and a B side, as opposed to being just one album.
Yeah,
let's call it.
Yeah. And both of those sides were good, but then there was like that kind of filler.
Yeah,
like that fitter, happier, or an OK Computer. You know, and all of a sudden there's just that one really kind of fitter, happier, more productive, and it's like totally meant to be like a break from the music.
Can I be honest? I've never gotten through like the first three songs of OK Computer. Okay.
Out of your mind.
It's
a pretty important album.
I just can't.
Basically, all the music you like right now comes from OK Computer.
I'm sure. I just, you know, it's like Bjork. It's like, oh, really? I don't really have
to. We love Bjork. Yeah. Nora, my little girl loves Bjork.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Oh. I just can't get into it. I need pop hooks, man.
Yeah, there's some amazing hooks in Bjork songs. You're crazy.
Anyways.
Not a ton. I mean, that's not what she's known for, but.
Yeah,
break time.
Yeah, okay. Let's take a moment to hear from our pals at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Violence.
Yes. Man of Arms, Art of War.
Now,
what?
I'm glad that we're back on. If I had to choose between Man of War,
Man of Arms, Art of War, over Stardew Valley,
over Stardew Valley, I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your choice?
Well, absolutely, Man of Arms. Absolutely, Man of Arms.
Crazy talk.
So,
but I did not watch it this week.
Oh, okay.
However, as per your suggestion, my lovely wife watched.
Fantastic.
She took some notes.
Oh, so these are going to be your wife's notes.
Yeah, these are my wife's notes.
Okay, let's get her...
own notebook?
Next week, get her to record them.
Okay.
And then just on her phone.
Okay.
Or something.
Okay.
And we'll get her voice on the podcast. Okay. Maybe then she'll be a little bit more into this whole endeavor.
We'll see. We'll see. Hey, this was a big step in itself.
That's right. Good point.
So yeah, so this is episode 3, and it was a perfect choice for her because it was African Blades. My wife's mom and dad were both born in Zimbabwe. I grew up in around that area and South Africa. And right away, another big connection is my wife loves Star Trek: The Next Generation, and apparently these blades were inspired the Klingon weapons.
Oh wow!
Yeah, she told me the basic premise, but they said these are her comments.
Mm-hmm.
These guys just like throwing knives. Maybe they are afraid of zombies. and this is interesting. I remember I was impressed. There's a female forger. Isn't that nice? That shows us kind of mansplaining things. Because she's like, does the female cast member ever talk or just agree with the men? Yeah, you're probably right.
Dang.
You're probably right. By the way, I heard a really good, a mansplainer joke. Where does a mansplainer get water from?
Where?
Well, actually.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyways, she's like, yeah, weapons expert. What a job. Making all these weapons without modern tools must have been really hard. People really wanted to kill each other, I guess. and one of the guys does an air guitar with the blade. She popped for that, it sounds like. There's a blacksmith / martial artist and said, of course he's from Russia. And she asked, what kind of liability insurance do they have on this show? That's an excellent question.
There you go.
And she, got to see the whole finish as we did with the other ones. Said, of course, Danny Atreo goes right to the head and they added fake blood to the dummy. And she thought that was creepy.
Dear God, I can't believe they continue to do that.
She made a good observation here, a good note. The weapon grinding / making scenes are way too long. The show could be 50% shorter, and she's probably right. But you could say
is
that.
Is it an hour-long program?
Yeah, or your 45 minutes with the commercials, right? But you could say that about a lot of these types of reality shows, right?
I can say that about a couple of wrestling shows.
Hey-yo! The Showtel, which is one of them, was a really scary-looking sword. And I guess they had said, the red sand that comes out, someone had mentioned that they wished that sand was blood. So it was really weird. And I guess I hadn't noticed this in the other episodes, but they sign off with saying, stay sharp.
And she
wrote groan.
Uh-huh. Okay, back to what?
Man of Arms, Art of War. Thank you, Christine. Anywho. We go back to a really funny vignette with Exolicious with a kind of flash dance.
Best part of the whole episode.
Yeah, looked great. Looked awesome. Mm-hmm. Cuts over to Jack Evans, who's been watching this whole thing, which is a little weird. But he's a little just kind of weirded out by it. And he starts talking with Ricky Mundo and tells him to mind your own business. Asking him, why weren't you out there? I got my ass kicked by the reptile tribe. He's like, hey, Johnny knows I don't like snakes. And he's cool with that. And so he leaves, a little bit of dissension there, and then Rosa, the doll, starts talking to Ricky and saying, why don't you do what you did to Angelico?
Yeah.
So what? Did he kill Angelico?
I think...
Was there an off-screen murder this episode? It's possible.
I believe this is telling us that Angelico was murdered by Ricky Mundo off-camera. Mm. That's how I'm interpreting it.
Sure.
So that's a dead... That's another murder?
Possibly. With an asterisk. We are not sure on that one.
Nah, Angelico's not coming back.
You don't think so?
They keep mentioning him. What's that?
They keep talking about him. But now they talk...
He's dead.
All right. He's dead.
So. That's another murder.
So. Okay. All right. We're above average then.
That's right. We're in 5 murders now?
No, I think we're up to 7. If we were at 6... One per episode that I... Okay, should we go over them all?
Yes, please.
There's the sacrifices.
Yeah, Mr. Spectacular
and Cortez Castro.
Mm-hmm.
The brutal murder of Mascarita Sagrada. Is that it? I feel like there's a couple more.
And Helico.
Possibly. Oh, well, the two... Jeremiah Crane.
Yes, and Phoenix. So we're at six.
All right. So one per pace.
Huh? Huh? Well, let's see. I'm excited to see what happens with
the murder count.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you think Phoenix? I think is probably coming back.
Yes,
but
Jeremiah Crane? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I hope not. We've talked about this, but yeah, they just gotta establish that dead is dead sometimes.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So that leads us to our main event for the Lucha Underground Championship. We've got Cage versus Pentagon Dark. This match starts outside. They brawl around. Cage does a choke with a camera cable. Then he throws Pentagon into the crowd. Cage ties Pentagon Dark's mask to the barricade on the outside. That was
thought this was brilliant.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Cage takes Matt Stryker's chair. Like, what are you doing, dude? Pentagon Dark gets out, super kicks to start his shine, and finally the crowd is really into it.
Yeah.
I really noticed, even when Cage was doing great stuff, the crowd was not responding to it. Like, yeah. Not even like kind of like a, ooh, like, I mean, he was doing stuff that usually gets that. It was really weird. I mean, they'd pop a lot for Pentagon stuff, and it's not just because he's a baby face. Like, I don't know. It's unique.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on there either. They do a lot of stuff with the way they record the crowd sound. They layer stuff in a weird way. So maybe it was just the audio mix. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard
maybe,
to tell.
Maybe
with the show, especially with all the like the slaps and stuff that they layer in.
Yeah,
there.
But you know when it gets quiet in this temple, you really feel how quiet it is. Much more so in the old one.
Yeah. I had a thought about Pentagon.
Okay.
And I think for me, one of the biggest differences, I think I'm able to articulate it now, between early Pentagon and current Pentagon isn't the fact that he's a babyface or anti-hero or anything like that. Well, I think it's because he takes time to play to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And early Pentagon did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
You had to just absorb what you could.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a fight. He felt like he was there. He mm-hmm. didn't care about anything else.
Mm-hmm. And we think this is primarily because of indie stuff?
His tour on the indies? Yeah, I think so. I think he's also probably just getting more comfortable. And now he has to worry less about just executing more about...
I will posit another theory.
Because
I think he's been given the kind of golden boy label now that Puma's gone.
Yeah.
So you need somebody to... I think he's possibly been asked to... the crowd, okay, you're officially, like, it was for a while, it might have been pretty close between you and Puma as to who was most over at this temple. Right now it's you, so you gotta take this ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm. yeah
anyways, Cage hits that really nice suplex from the middle rope again. That's a really nice strength spot from him. Pentagon turns into a lung blower followed by a code breaker for a two count. This is when I noticed that the crowd's really not popping for Cage's offense. Mm. Love those back-to-back code reds from Pentagon Dark. That was cool. Into the package pile driver for the win. This felt quick.
Yeah.
Normally, I would say, maybe they could have been given 4 or 5 more minutes. But I wasn't feeling a lot of drama here for a championship match.
Yeah, it's true. I was thinking that same thing, too. Like, what was the story here? Just that Cage wanted... Like, it... One of the great things about Lucha Underground is that so much of their story is backed up by the characters and vignettes, and you understand the motivation a little bit more, and they have the time to sort of get into the details of why person A wants to defeat person B. But I felt like this never really got that level of detail, which doesn't have to happen all the time, but maybe when you're just so used to it, when it doesn't happen, it doesn't feel as important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess I also never really felt like Cage could win this.
Nope.
And that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Or it would have taken like some sort of plot twist.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he does have the gauntlet again. How did that happen?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Where is the gauntlet? Well,
that's that, and that's why I think, getting Cuerno into that main event thing might further that along.
Hmm.
Possibly.
And so overall, no snowflakes in this episode at all?
Nope. Came close with that Vibora Mundo,
but
didn't like the extra shenanigans. Anyways, at the post-match, like, I thought, so that wraps things up with Cage.
Yeah.
Pentagon goes to break his arm. I like that Cage was able to break out of it.
Yeah.
And he hits, like, an F5 onto the belt. And then he gets a quick, does a quick promo to end the show. So maybe this feud is not over.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to get a, like, that was a decisive win.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is just to keep Cage looking tough.
I hope it is over. Not because I don't like these competitors or think that they can't continue to do good things, but we have 14 episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, why continue with these two?
Mm-hmm.
Unless, is the talent pool just so thin or what at this point? Like,
no.
It doesn't feel like it.
No. I still think they're leading to Swagger, or, pardon me, Jake Strong versus Pentagon Dark. We've got our own personal murder count going. They've got their broken bones. And I think that could build to something.
Yeah.
But then we also have the sacrifice count going on with Matanza.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And his soon-to-be Dark Army coming back.
Well, we shall see. Mm-hmm. Can you make a prediction now? Let's both make a prediction. Ultima Lucha Cuatro. What is the headlining match?
I think that's, well, if Pentagon's still champion, will he be champion this entire season? I don't know. But that was the first thing I
had. Here's the question. What do you think it will be, and what would you like it to be?
I think it'll be Jake Strong versus Pentagon Dark.
Gugh.
I know. What would I like it to be? Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite wrestler on the roster now, other than the Mac, between those two.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like a strong main event, maybe, like Dark Phoenix fighting for his soul.
Woo.
Right?
Dark Phoenix. Yeah. So against Mill somehow.
Maybe.
Maybe they've done like a turn. Maybe they've done a double turn at this point.
Mm.
So you have babyface Mill versus Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that could be tasty.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. And then...
Even though they've had a ton of matches against each other, I'd see it with the
flip dynamic
for sure. Yeah.
And then, at the end, Aerostar's in, and they both grab him, and they pull him apart, and it opens up a portal in time. And we go back in time by 30 years. Yeah. 40 years! Yeah. Into the 70s.
Little swinging 70s. Cut two. Cut to a young Antonio Cueto walking down the streets with two paint cans, like the start of Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
He's so great! He's so freaking awesome!
Yeah, man. I really like that idea. Of all the shitty ideas you've had, this the least shittiest.
Oh, well, thanks. alrighty. How can people find us on Twitter?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, guys. @Lucha_Aftergrund. If you can't find it, just search for Lucha Afterground. Find us on iTunes. Go to placetobenation.com. Yeah.
Alright. Great pod as always. We'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?